Welcome to The Buzz, the podcast of the Jazz Journalists Association, where we discuss news and views from those in the jazz media, writers, broadcasters, photographers, videographers, and other professionals documenting the entire ecosystem of jazz.
My name is Susan Brink, and you are listening to The Buzz, the JJA podcast. And my guest today is Willard Jenkins. He is the artistic director of the DC Jazz Festival. He's a broadcaster, an educator, a producer, and an author. And it is in that capacity that we're speaking with him today. He's got a new book coming out December 2nd on Duke University Press, Ain't But a Few of Us. Willard, welcome to The Buzz.
Thank you, Susan. Pleasure to be here.
So, what was the impetus to write this book at this time?
You know, having written about music and primarily jazz since I was an undergraduate, I've been around to festivals and various concert performances and interacted with journalists who are covering those events. And I'm happy to say that I'm proud to say that I'm a founding member of JJA and actually had a conference that was the place that JJA was founded. Throughout all of those travels, it was always interesting to me and always has been interesting to me that jazz music, as we know, is certainly a, I won't say product, but it is a part of the African experience in America, indelibly. It was the African experience in America that gave this music its wings. Yet, despite the fact that so many of the great innovators and masters of this music we call jazz have been African Americans, there have been few, relatively speaking, Black music writers who have covered the music, either as journalists, critics, authors, and the like. And so that was always interesting to me. And whenever I met and interacted with other Black writers who covered the music, they had the same experience and the same observations. And so at a certain point, after I developed my website and I had a blog and started doing interviews on my blog, which is at openskyjazz.com, I started to toss around this whole idea of interviewing Black music writers about their experiences. And it was interesting that there were a lot of shared experiences. And I started doing a series on my blog called Ain't But a Few of Us. And I had gotten that title from hearing musicians express that. You know, for example, I remember one time very distinctly, I was right there when Jimmy Heath and Milt Jackson greeted each other in a lobby at Lincoln Center. And I remember specifically that Milt Jackson said, yeah, Jimmy ain't but a few of us. And what he meant was there weren't but a few of them left from their era, the so-called bebop era. And, you know, that kind of stuck with me. And I thought to myself, when it comes to Black music writers writing about specifically about jazz and about other musics as well, there really ain't but a few of us. And the more that I did these interviews for the blog at openskyjazz.com, the more folks that I became familiar with, because writers would recommend certain people. I already knew pretty much who was out there, but then certain writers would recommend certain people, and certain books would come on the horizon that perhaps were written by Black writers. And so I met certain people. And as the series continued, I began to be encouraged by some of the participants who said, well, gee whiz, looks like there might be a book in this. What has happened is that series of interviews has morphed into this book. So that's my story of how I started. what they call it now, my origin story, right?
Very much so. I was, right. You know, looking at your table of contents and how you distributed and grouped the authors and even the ancestors, because it's not just living authors that you've included here.
Yes, there are some people who unfortunately have passed on the ancestry since they were interviewed. You're right.
And how did you decide on how to group them?
Well, you know, as I looked at the interviews in the aggregate and who contributed those interviews, it was clear that they were coming from somewhat different perspectives. For example, someone like the late Greg Tate, who most people became familiar with from his writing at the Village Voice, his place on the Village Voice masthead was different, for example, than someone like Ron Scott, who was writing about jazz for the Amsterdam News. Both were weekly newspapers, but Greg was coming from a certain different perspective, and Ron was coming from a different perspective that was more attuned to what the editorial board at the Amsterdam News wanted their readers to read. So you had those kinds of different perspectives, and then you had others who had primarily been magazine and newspaper freelancers. So their position was a little different than someone like Ron Scott, for example, or Greg Tate even, who appeared on their particular publication's masthead. So a freelancer's position is different from that. And then there were certain others whose major contributions in terms of writing about the music came in the form of books. So that was another category of writers. That was the authors. You know, like, for example, Robin D.G. Kelly, who wrote the incredible Thelonious Monk biography. Robin considers himself primarily an author. He has contributed to periodicals in the past. And in fact, part of his story in the interview was an unfortunate encounter with an editor at the New York Times. So, you know, you had people coming from these different perspectives. So I wanted to emphasize the fact that these were not all people coming from the same area categorically.
Right. You start off with a round table. How did you decide on round table?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I decided on round table kind of as a means of engaging a little bit of brevity, because these books can only be so long, particularly when you're contributing a book to a university press. They kind of have a structure in terms of the length of books that they like to publish. And so as a means of incorporating the insights of as many of the interviewees from the blog series as I could, I grouped certain writers in a round table kind of setting to open the book.
And how did you decide who was going to be in the anthology with the classics and on jazz and race?
Well, you know, during my research, in terms of researching African-Americans who've written about primarily jazz, but music in general, I did a lot of research at the Institute of Jazz Studies at Rutgers University in Newark. So I went back in the archives of publications like Downbeat and Jazz Times and others, Metronome and others, to find out who was there, who contributed, and went about selecting archival pieces based upon that. Several of the anthology pieces are pieces written by contributors, interview contributors to the book. Several are not. For example, one of the main pieces in the anthology is Amiri Baraka's classic piece, Jazz and the White Critic. Unfortunately, Amiri Baraka, it's funny because at one of the JJA Jazz Awards programs, I was the happy and pleasant recipient of the JJA Lifetime Achievement Award. And the person who presented me that award was Amiri Baraka, who had received that award the year prior. You know, we had a brief exchange about, he had learned about the series of interviews I was doing. We had an exchange about that in which he informed me of The Cricket, which was a jazz publication that he had edited years ago. So that sent me off to the Institute of Jazz Studies to look up The Cricket. Unfortunately, Amiri Baraka passed before I had an opportunity to interview him for this series. But that piece, Jazz and the White Critic, really strikes to the core of the whole idea of the book itself. And so I had to include that. And then as I went about interviewing the writers, so many of them named Amiri Baraka and A.B. Spellman as their inspirations. So clearly I had to have something by A.B. Spellman in the anthology section as well. A.B. is someone still very much alive and someone I've known for many years here in the D.C. area. So including him in the anthology was a no-brainer as well. And then as I was researching archives of the various publications, various jazz publications, I was struck by a number of contributions to Downbeat magazine from Black musicians themselves. So I decided, well, we have to have something representative of Black musicians writing about their music. And so we selected a Wayne Shorter piece and a piece by Dr. Billy Taylor. And so, you know, there was a strategy behind how those pieces wound up in the anthology. And another notable example in the anthology is a piece written by a woman named Barbara Gardner. Barbara Gardner, point of fact, happens to be the only African-American who has served in an editorial position on a major jazz publication in the history of those publications.
My goodness.
Now, Barbara Gardner was served as the associate editor of Downbeat magazine for years in the late 50s, early 60s. She went on to a very successful career in advertising. So when she passed, she was no longer writing about jazz. She unfortunately passed before I got a chance to interview her as well. Kudos to Downbeat's current publisher, Frank Alkire, because Frank was really wanting to push the envelope to get her interviewed for the book. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it happen before she passed. But I wanted to include something that she had contributed to Downbeat as well. So there was a kind of a strategy behind the anthology pieces as well.
Yeah, they're not very many women either.
No. And, you know, thank you for bringing that up, because that was another point of emphasis. I wanted to make sure that we had a good representation of women jazz writers, music writers. And I think by and large, we do.
You do. And it's nice to see that. What do you think about opportunities currently? Do you think it's opening up somewhat?
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that writing about jazz is a closed society. I'm not going to say that at all. I'm not going to say that any more than I'm going to say that supporting jazz and attending jazz performances is as though you have to be in some kind of club or something of that nature, like some people think. Yeah. Because in addition to the dearth of Black writers covering the music, we don't see the same African-American audience that we once saw supporting this music. And that's by choice and by lack of information and by lack of availability of the music that the audience is that way. So I'm not going to sit here and say that there were restrictions on Black writers who may have wanted to write about jazz. So, you know, that is not necessarily what this book is about. And I should emphasize that this book is not a book of grievances. It's not a book of contributions from aggrieved writers who talk about the restrictions, et cetera, that they've experienced. Some of them have experienced restrictions. Some of them have experienced reactions to their writing that unfortunately reflect matters of race. Some of them have experienced that kind of thing. But for the most part, this is writers, as the subtitle of the book is, Black Music Writers Tell Their Story. That's what this is. This is Black music writers talking about how they developed their craft and the kind of responses their craft has received down through the years. Some of that obviously colored by race, but this is not a series of aggrieved writers.
It seems it's more oral history, speaking of their time.
Yes, their journey.
And their journey.
Their yes. journey in writing about music.
Yeah.
And as I said, sometimes that journey has been colored negatively by aspects of race. But it's mainly about their journey and how they came to write about this music in the first place, how they came to be interested in writing about this music in the first place, because ultimately, as the title says, there ain't but a few of us.
True that. Thank you, Willard.
Thank you, Susan.
On the Buzz. It's a wonderful book. Ain't But a Few of Us. Black Music Writers Tell Their Stories. It's on Duke University Press. Comes out December 2nd. Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Buzz, a podcast produced by the Jazz Journalists Association. We release new episodes regularly on all the major platforms. To learn more about us, go to jjanews.org. This episode was edited by Wiz Petta. The John Michaels composition, Big Vic, is our theme music. Toodaloo.